It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Western countries are preparing to punish Russia and provide more support for Ukraine's new pro-Europe government as the crisis in Crimea escalates. The U.S., U.K., and other European countries were meeting in London to prepare a list of Russians who face a travel ban and have their assets frozen unless Moscow talks to Ukraine about resolving a military standoff in its Black Sea region. The situation in Ukraine has been called the biggest foreign policy crisis since 9/11 and has many Ukrainian Americans concerned. One of them is ethnomusicologist and anthropologist Adriana Helbig, one of many Pittsburghers with Ukrainian heritage. She travels to Kiev each year for family and for work as an assistant professor of music and a faculty member in cultural studies and the Center for Russian and East European Studies at the University of Pittsburgh. She joins us by phone now from New York. Adriana Helbig, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, thank you very much for having me on the program.
Adriana, how would you characterize how Ukrainian Americans in Pittsburgh and other cities are responding to the conflict?
I think concern is an understatement. I think I would just like to say that the Ukrainian community throughout North America is very organized, and they've mobilized many times for Ukrainian independence in 2004 for the Orange Revolution. And now we see, again, this mass mobilization in all cities majorly, in Chicago, Toronto, New York, Washington, D.C. There are protests. There are events that are supporting the people who need medical aid that have now suffered from burns from participating in the Euromaidan protests, and also the push to contact congressmen and senators to bring Ukraine to the awareness of the politicians.
I understand that you are in New York attending a panel at the Columbia University Center on Global Energy Policy with the topic of perspectives on the crisis in Ukraine. What were the energy and resource concerns that were brought up by the panel?
One of the major concerns is the EU's reliance on Russia for oil and gas. And to take into account that Germany is one of the biggest purchasers of Russian gas. And so taking into account this diplomacy element, but also acknowledging that oil and gas and the reliance on natural resources are a big part of the response of the European Union.
And what can be done by Western countries to help Ukraine meet its energy needs and maybe cut off this huge asset for the Russians, the fact that they have so much natural gas and that they make money off of it by selling it to other European countries, including Ukraine?
Well, Russia's pipelines run through Ukraine. So really considering that Ukraine is dependent on Russia, and this is also how Russia has controlled the region for Moldova, for Georgia, when you have this network that's been in place from Soviet times, but really acknowledging that the corruption that was initially at the root of the protests going back to December is really what has prevented development of an energy sector in Ukraine, because we have so many of these oligarchs having these strong relationships with Russia and then taking money away from the development of an energy infrastructure in Ukraine.
You are constantly in touch with people in Ukraine. How are Ukrainians, the people that you talk to on a regular basis, how are they handling all of the tension and the uncertainty?
I think Facebook, Twitter really give a good account of the constant information flow that's coming out of Ukraine and the way that information is being shared. And this would not have been possible to bring to this type of fruition had social media not played such an important role. But really concern and also the emotional trauma. I mean, considering that even my mother and grandparents, they were part of Russia's domination at the time that they were growing up, and really just realizing that all of these big fears are actually coming into play.
What areas of the Ukraine have you been in touch with?
I've been in touch with all sectors of Ukraine, because my family is in Western Ukraine, so realizing that they are really the ones that have been very actively promoting the European Union network ties. But my research is actually in Kharkiv, in eastern Ukraine, where I work with African migrants. And the concerns among migrants, again, we keep talking about this as a Ukraine-Russia or Ukrainian-Russian language debate or crisis, and really considering that there are many other people that live in Ukraine. So you have the Jewish population, you have the Crimean Tatars that actually have not really had their voice heard in U.S. media, and also, again, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, the African migrants that live in major cities throughout eastern Ukraine.
And how would you characterize the interactions that you've had with people when it comes to what's going on there, and what are they telling you?
So there's a very big movement to counter the Russian propaganda. When we look at what's happening on CNN, and the stories are getting more nuanced, but initially a lot of the rhetoric was really coming through Russian, and I say Soviet, propaganda, because really the idea of what Russia actually wants, it comes into play that eastern parts of Ukraine have always had this historical domination from Russia. Western parts didn't come into the Russian fold until after World War II. And so we really need to get the story out from the Western parts. And so one of my good friends, Irina Kluchkovska, is actually really actively involved in Kyiv. They've just created a Ukraine crisis media center to get more of the information out of what is actually happening in Ukraine. And incidentally, Irina's brother, Markian Kluchkovsky, got his law degree at the University of Pittsburgh. So this, it really gets tied in into a global issue, and to really kind of assess that all sides have a story to tell, but to really understand that the propaganda machine out of Russia is much stronger than what is actually coming out of Kyiv.
We're talking with Pitt professor Adriana Helbig, one of many Pittsburghers with Ukrainian heritage, about the situation there. Adriana, how do you see this conflict impacting academia?
Academia has long ties, again, to the Soviet era. And when we're talking about the ways that academia is structured, we do have professors that continue to write and to promote certain ideologies that were prevalent under the Soviet era, but also then that gets usurped under Russian studies. So I think just really to take into account that other stories, post-colonial stories out of Ukraine, have not really had the chance to develop on an academic scale. And I do know that many people are actually actively discouraged to research Ukraine, saying that they won't actually get a position in academia. So it's really just something to consider when we're talking about classes and how certain topics are addressed in academia.
And what can you tell us about your work and how this conflict touches different segments of Ukrainian society that you are involved with?
Well, for me personally, I just published a book. It's called Hip Hop Ukraine, and the musicians on the cover of my book have not been able to meet their rent because they sing in Ukrainian, they live in eastern Ukraine, and they haven't been able to be hired within this political crisis. So immediately, that is something that I'm dealing with right now. Really just taking into account that this is not only going to destabilize Ukraine, but it's destabilizing Europe, and we have to take into account that this is a global crisis because you have a country that is crossing borders of a sovereign nation and doing this under the pretext that they are protecting minorities that really have not had any statements that were coming out that Russian minorities were under any kind of danger in Crimea. And so when we look at the borders of Europe, we see minorities across borders everywhere. And so is it that we're moving into a political era where it is now acceptable for one country to invade another in the rhetoric of supporting minorities?
We've been talking with Adriana Helbig, one of many Pittsburghers with Ukrainian heritage, an assistant professor at Pitt, and we are out of time. But Adriana, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again. She's the author of Hip Hop Ukraine. Thank you, Adriana.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you again tomorrow with another edition of Essential Pittsburgh.